Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll be joined by Ryan Shumpert from Rocky Top Insider at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols and their super regional matchup against Evansville coming up at some point this weekend. Who knows, Joe? Maybe by the end of the day, we'll know what day it starts.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I guess they're supposed to announce. I think they're supposed to announce actually right when our show ends.
Well, of course they are.
Who's hosting? Yeah. So I guess maybe they'll just announce who's hosting, and then we'll get back to you with the schedule on Thursday. But I think we'll know today.
I think we probably will. It'll be good. College football season is, I was going to say, rapidly approaching. It's not rapidly approaching. It's around the corner somewhere.
It's out there.
It's out there somewhere. It's out there somewhere in the future. The ESPN Football Power Index came out yesterday. Stop the presses. And with the college football playoff expanding to 12 teams this year, a little bit of kind of a different formula that they're using here. But I saw, Vol Twitter was running with this yesterday. Georgia Twitter was running with this again yesterday. You'll be surprised to know that the Georgia Bulldogs, according to the Football Power Index, are the favorite to win the national championship at 20.7% is the percentage they come up with. So they have Georgia at 1, Oregon in the Big Ten at number 2, Texas in the SEC at number 3. Think about reading this list like 10 years ago.
I know. It's so dumb.
Ohio State at 4, Alabama at 5, Penn State at 6, Notre Dame at 7, Oklahoma at 8, and at number 9, the Tennessee Volunteers. So Tennessee at number 9. And the 2024 Football Power Index by ESPN. So take solace, Vols fans. The Football Power Index thinks you have a good chance of making the college football playoff.
Yeah, Football Power Index going to be coming in higher than probably the rankings.
Yes.
Which, again, the rankings taken for what they are. Vols probably be somewhere between like 12 and 15, which means that just by conventional wisdom, they're right around the fringe there of the playoff. But FPI number 9.
FPI number 9.
Does take recruiting rankings, I know, into
it does.
So I've made fun of it in the past. Yeah. So, but it's fine. I could see the Vols being in there. I think the Vols are going to be right there with a chance to get to the playoff, depending on how things go. But Nico has promise. There's no doubt.
He's got a lot of promise.
There's promise.
And there are some SEC coaches that feel the same way. So Athlon Sports does this every year where they come out with anonymous quotes from coaches around the SEC. And it doesn't necessarily have to be head coaches. There's different people that they talk to during this stuff. But a lot of talk, obviously, about Nico and the quarterback position. Here was what one coach had to say. The staff thinks Nico will be the best quarterback they've had in that system. And when they have a quarterback they're confident in, they're as good as anyone on that side of the football. Now, first off, that's a pretty ringing endorsement there of, if that's true, the staff thinks Nico will be the best quarterback they've had in that system. I mean, Hendon Hooker's pretty darn good in that system. So
yeah, first of all, when you see these, of course, I love to guess.
Yeah,
but a lot of these guys are friends, so this could be receivers coach talking to the Vols, quarterbacks go whatever, but that is a strong statement. If the staff actually thinks he'll be the best, Hendon Hooker should have been a Heisman finalist.
Another quote: the question is going to be what they put around him this season. They don't have an elite wideout or obvious target, but the Tulane transfer, talking about Chris Brazell, is pretty decent. And here's one that I think is going to be a lot of what this comes down to from a coach. Quote: defensively, they're not at the level of national title caliber programs in the league, but they are better than when Josh Heupel took over. The floor is higher there, but they have question marks in the secondary. That's the one part of Tennessee I look at right now. Like, I agree. At wide receiver, I think they've got a lot of good players. Like, how many elite, great players do they have on the offensive side of the ball? I don't know. We're gonna find out. But defensively, can they continue to improve? Everybody knows that you feel good about James Pierce and the pass rush and all that, but on the back end, it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like.
One thing not addressed here is offensive line, which I think is underrated last year and why they took a step back. Yes, Joe Milton, clear step back from Hendon Hooker, obviously. Receiver, big step back last year, especially with the injury to Brew McCoy. But O-line was not up to par. And so if they fix left tackle and fix tackle in general with the shuffling, that means a lot. No one talking about Squirrel White. Just keep sleeping on Squirrel White.
I noticed that.
Okay. But, look, seriously, like White, McCoy, and then who is the third guy? You know, who did Shumpert write this? Is this a Shumpert piece that we're about to have?
This is Terry Lambert.
This is Terry Lambert. Rocky Top Talk. Okay, my fault. There's so many Rocky Top
things. There's a lot of stuff.
Things. Yeah. But, the point he writes here about, you know, Mike Matthews in the spring game, another five-star. So we'll see. I'm always leery, I think, especially in this offense, of the real young guy. Now, Squirrel White was able to come in, but, you know, we'll see. If a third guy, Brazell, because as we've talked about, they like three. They like three and a steady diet, and then, you know, you'll have some opportunity for four and maybe five. But
my man Nimrod's
coming in.
Who's
the third?
Yep.
Chaz Nimrod, he is still around, right?
He's still around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The portal.
He's not going.
Hard to keep track of. You know.
Not losing Chaz Nimrod.
See, I mean, guys can get better, but in all seriousness, he's a guy who needs to probably be passed over, right?
Agreed.
I mean, and so if that all works out, it could be great offense. The defense is, especially if the linebacker from BYU, who's 37 years old,
Keenan Peely,
is as good as they think and thought he was last year before he got hurt, and they're like, yep, hold his spot because this year he's going to be great.
Play with Vrabel.
Yeah, he and Mike Singletary, so park him out. If he's that guy, along with, you know, everything else that they have going for them, which, again, James Pierce could be, you know, I don't know if he's going to be the number one overall pick, but he's going to be a very high pick in the draft. And, like, just be okay. Just be solid in the secondary.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Can they be? There's some promising young players there. They got to put it all together. That's my – obviously the biggest question about this team, right? Like, can they just be decent in the back end?
Right. You don't have to be
reliable.
Great. Especially if your offense is – like, if your offense returns to being maybe not as good as it was with Hooker – but let's say it takes a significant jump forward from what it was last year. Like, your defense doesn't have to be great at that point. They just have to get you some big stops.
Right. Like the defense, no defensive coach for Tennessee is sending in the tape of the Alabama game from 2022, right, when
right.
they're applying for a job. But that defense still stepped up and got a couple stops, made a couple of big plays in that game. Can you do that if you have a great offense?
Right.
And we still don't know that they're going to have a great offense.
No.
But the ingredients are there.
Here's the bottom line from one of the coaches interviewed in this. Quote, put them right outside of the playoff contenders for now, but the quarterback could be really special. That was kind of the bottom line on Tennessee, which is interesting.
Well, and I think that's totally fair. I mean, that's how I look at it, too. The schedule, of course, as pointed out here, Mississippi State and Arkansas—that's pretty good.
Yep,
you could definitely be worse off than that. Having to go to Oklahoma, tough, but actually this isn't the worst year of recent time on paper. Not the worst year to have to do that.
Yep,
at Georgia, obviously that's a tough one. I mean, at this point, I'm in the show me that you can go out and compete with that
They've
team.
Not even competed with Georgia.
Yeah, show me that point. You can hang with them. But Alabama at home, new coach. You have to win. You have to win one of those three games. And then you have to take care of your other business, which isn't like gimmies all over the place. But you have to win one of those three games. Alabama's probably the one. If you do that, is that enough?
Well,
if you lose the other two huge ones.
10-2, you're probably in.
You probably. But, I mean, it's like, you know, it could shake out different ways. it could be close. But that's probably, especially because you would think that like a win over Alabama would be a very valuable. I mean, I think Alabama's still going to be really good this year. Maybe the transition to DeBoer is way tougher than expected. But I actually think he's a really good coach.
I think they're going to be good. Like they'll be. I think they'll be right in there for. They're going to make the playoff. I'd be surprised if they didn't. The Oklahoma game is really interesting. I mean, look. If you're a Tennessee fan out there, you're screaming right now and saying, yeah, what about Florida? Let's beat Florida.
Sure.
I mean, the one thing.
But that has been happening at home.
It's been happening, I mean, more frequently at home.
Yeah. Not every time, tradition. But, like, it's not impossible.
Right. Like, it's – you had one in the swamp since 05 or whatever it's been. At least you got them at home this year. So, and look, this is a team – of course, last year was too. It's a Florida team that you should beat. But – that's how it goes in the SEC sometimes, man. I mean, there's Missouri. Missouri's going to be a preseason top 10, top 15 sort of team. That's what they're going to be. So what does that look like? You got them at home too, but there are some tricky games on their schedule. Even though I'm with you, like getting Mississippi State and Arkansas, you could certainly end up a lot worse than that. With some of your other draws.
Yeah, Caleb doesn't like me saying Alabama's more beatable than Oklahoma, but it's the location is what it is for me. I mean, Norman's a tough place to go. I mean, obviously, like Knoxville for an Alabama game.
But,
yeah. I mean, let's also remember, I understand that Alabama ended up getting the playoff and everything last year, and they could have won it all, but my gosh, Tennessee was kicking their butt. Until they weren't.
But they were
kicking their butt for one half of football. Like Joe Milton was throwing darts out there.
615
on that Alabama D.
737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Vols. So Athlon, the coaches they've talked to, have them just outside the playoff picture heading into the season. The ESPN Football Power Index has them squarely in the playoff picture. How do you view Tennessee heading into this football season under Josh Heupel? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. I got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to see the Nashville Sounds take on Louisville this Thursday at First Horizon Park. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on Louisville this Thursday at First Horizon Park. Give Nick Kieser a call, 615-737-1025. Kieser, how are we doing on the program?
Good. Glad to get
not ready
some.
To leave yet?
No.
That's good.
Even though Western Canada was fun, I'm definitely glad to be home.
That's good.
So, but Tofino, British Columbia, highly recommend it. Go check it out. Takes a long time to get there, but
travel agent segment.
But does it take as long as Joe Rexer making coffee? That's the main question.
Now we're back. You know, he hadn't thrown a shot at you all morning. I was getting a little concerned.
I missed it. What did
he say? Took an hour and 19 minutes, and he was talking about the long flight to get back, but doesn't take as long as you retrieving coffee.
Well, yeah, I'm used to you guys drinking coffee, so the thing is warmed up. I had to warm the whole thing up. What do you get off coffee now?
No,
you're married
and
you're done with coffee?
No, I got the quality brew at home, man.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I'll make my own here.
What about you? You're drinking pop now instead of coffee again?
It's just one time.
Okay.
One time.
I kind of thought you were on the coffee
I drank
team.
Like 72 ounces of coffee on the show yesterday. So.
Trying to ease up a little
bit.
Trying to
calm down a little bit. Taking your thoughts on the Vol, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Ethan from Lawrenceburg says, I look for Thornton to have a big year on the outside. Had him at the wrong position last year. I will say, he made a couple big plays down the stretch, then he obviously got hurt. If they figure out a way to get him going, Nimrod, we've talked about, and the Brazil kid coming in from Tulane. Like, they've got a chance to have some depth here. And I'm with you. Like, Heupel has typically gone with three guys for the most part and then has kind of filled in when injury has been required after that. I do wonder, like, if there's legitimate depth there, and then you have Mike Matthews as a five-star too, and we'll see what that looks like. Does that change at all this year? Is he more willing to open it up and use more guys? The problem with that is – it's hard to do that and go at the pace that he wants to go at, right? Like, it's hard to, unless you're just being intentional about, hey, this series is your series and the next series is this guy's series. If you're, if the offense is kind of humming along the way he wants it, it's not like there's a ton of time to sit in there and substitute, yeah, right? Rubbing. Like, you're, yeah, running one play every 11 seconds. So that's what's difficult about the wide receiver part of this. Also, I mean, it was a pretty bad injury for Brew McCoy last year, so I'm interested to see what he looks like and when he's completely healthy and what that looks like in this offense again this year.
Yeah, I mean, that hurt them without question, and he's really good. I think McCoy and White, you're going to have, you know, and White makes plays downfield too. I mean, those slot fades can get some stuff done, get some good matchups, but you know, McCoy, those guys are going to be, I think, reliable playmakers. And then, yeah, they do need like someone to kind of be like the Hyatt role. And I, you know, that's asking a lot. Hyatt got behind people so easily, but Thornton has that speed, but you know, he was also hurt and it just, yep, didn't work out for him. I think there was some difficulty adjusting to the offense. So he certainly could be a guy. It'd be good to see one of these income, whether it's Brazell or Matthews, pop, you know, and really establish themselves. Someone is going to be, I'm confident in saying, someone is going to end up being the heavy rotation third guy with the two. I mean, McCoy and White, I'm confident.
Yeah,
they are,
sure,
going to be on the field. One of those guys is going to me, it's like a competition for that third guy. And then, yeah, they can still use depth more. And they have, like, in the past, I mean, Keaton, you know, in 2022 was that fourth guy. But he still had, yep, plenty of moments. So there's some opportunity for you there. But somebody needs to be, like, if they get someone who's like, oh, there's the third guy, clearly that's a great thing for this offense.
Well, then, I mean, a lot of it also – it's clearly going to come down to, we all feel pretty good about Nico being good. Question is how good. Like, how good is he going to be immediately this year? I mean, I think he showed enough in the bowl game against a really good defense in Iowa where you're like, okay, you can see it. Like, it's the not only the delivering of the football, which was good, but like we talked about this, the shiftiness, the ability to get outside and move, the ability to run if you need to, like all those things tied up into one. Like, is he going to be an immediate upgrade over Joe Milton? Is he going to be like a really big upgrade over Joe Milton? Like, how good is he going to be immediately in this offense? And if he's really, really, really good, if he's what one of these coaches said, and the Tennessee actually feels like he's the best quarterback they've had in their system, well, then they're going to be fine if that's what he is.
Yeah.
If he starts a little slower than that, what does that look like?
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't have, like, you can't slip up against NC State.
Yeah.
You know? Should beat NC State, but you can't. If you want to do what the goal is this year, like, it's not like you have four games against, trying not to disrespect anyone, I was going to say, like, Austin Peay. I don't know why I want to rip on Austin Peay, but let's go Peay. Fly is open.
Akron.
There you go. Yeah, let's rip some Ohio schools. Yeah. Yeah. Four straight games against the Zips. To get ready for the tough part of the schedule. I mean, it's pretty quick. And I just – it's such a range of possibility. I mean, with him, I think the range is like from pretty good to great.
Yeah.
You saw in the Iowa game.
There's enough ability there where he's going
to
be good.
Yeah, he's going to be good. But, yeah, you know, can you make those – I mean, Hendon Hooker got to the point where, again, go back to the Alabama game. That was a Heisman game. If the Georgia game doesn't happen, then obviously then the injury happens, but – at that point, that's the guy who's winning the Heisman after he played. Like that's the level of like clutch play after clutch play he made in that game. It's a lot to ask,
yeah,
of Nico to just come in and do that. But that's what, you know, that's what it's going to take at some point in one of these games, probably for them to win, is just him to put the team on his back, because this Josh Heupel's teams are designed that way, right?
No doubt about it.
You can say the offense in some ways makes it easier for quarterbacks, but I don't think he's ever going to have a great defense. We're going to have like a Georgia-like defense. I mean, it is hard with this offense to pair a dominant defense with it. So you're gonna lean on that offense. You're going to outscore people in the biggest games.
So is the college football playoff the expectation from here on out with Heupel? Knowing that there's going to be, you know, different ups and downs with a roster, but – you know, specifically these next 2 years, I feel like, with Nico at quarterback, Like, that's going to be the bar. Like, yeah. Can you get into the college football playoff? And then we'll see from there.
If they don't make the playoff in either of these 2 years with Nico, and again, this is me presuming on Nico going to the draft. I don't know if he's going to be that good, but I think that's the hope and expectation.
Yep.
If they don't make the playoffs in the next 2 years, then I think he's on the hot seat. And I know that's some people would be like, what are you talking about hot seat with Heupel? But how would that not be the expectation? And if you can't do it with this guy, now granted –
They keep recruiting quarterbacks.
They are, and there's, you know, when Steve Wiltfong puts the crystal ball on the 26th number one overall player who's a quarterback, I think it's Fazion Brandon. I believe that's the name. That's compelling. But with Nico, yeah, you need to get in the top 12 one of these 2 years. The expectation, it's not fair to expect Heupel and the Vols to make it every year into the playoff. There will be some years when they dip. But to be a team that's right around there and then sometimes to actually do it, absolutely.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Vols. We'll also get to Vanderbilt football and what is a very interesting season coming up for Clark Lee in that program. We'll get into that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on the Louisville Bats at home. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Taking your thoughts on some college football on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So we've discussed the Vols part of this. High expectations for them heading into the season. Joe, one team that does not have high expectations is the Vanderbilt Commodores. I got curious yesterday. You know me. I look on some sportsbook odds from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tennessee is over-under win total on FanDuel Sportsbook is 9.5, which I feel like is pretty aggressive, 9.5. But that's where Tennessee is. So I was like, okay, so what's Vandy? I looked at Vandy, and the over-under total for wins for Vanderbilt is 2.5. They are over under 2.5. And over is minus 170. Under 2.5 wins is plus 138 for what it's worth. So favorite to win, I guess, 3 games if you're looking at the odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The schedule for Vanderbilt is very difficult this year. And we talked about this even last year as they were kind of going through it in the middle of their season. I mean, you look at what they've got coming down the pipe this year. So you start off with Virginia Tech, which is obviously not an easy game to start off with. Then Alcorn State, Georgia State, and then you get right into the thick of the SEC with Missouri, Alabama, Kentucky. There's Ball State on there, Texas, Auburn, South Carolina, LSU, Tennessee. They had some tough games, especially in the SEC that they got, and then you throw in Virginia Tech with it. So you feel like Alcorn State, Georgia State, and Ball State should be games that they win. And outside of that, on paper, I don't know that I see one that they should win at this point. This is a big year for Clark Lee. He's taken over the defensive coordinator responsibilities in addition to being the head coach heading into this year. Their roster is still in a little bit of a transition. The quarterback is going to be really interesting to see how that plays out this year. What do you make of where this program is and everything that's in front of Clark Lee right now with the schedule, with the changing landscape of the SEC, with Texas and Oklahoma coming in? How do you view this year for Vanderbilt?
I have no idea, man. I have no idea what to think. I mean, it's in part, this program has become New Mexico State Northeast.
Yes,
I guess. New Mexico State East. Let's just say New Mexico State East. I know it's north too, but you know, it sounds weird to say Nashville, Tennessee would be anything northeast.
It would. It does.
You got Jerry Kill and Tim Beck in here. You have the quarterback, Diego Pavia. I mean, you're talking about an exciting player, CUSA Player of the Year. You know, they went 10-5 last year. He threw for basically 3,026 TDs, rushed for 928-7. He's an intriguing talent. But they also have Nate Johnson from Utah. So I'm assuming it's going to be Pavia. And there's just so many new faces. They definitely went into the portal.
Oh,
they lost in the portal, but they went into the portal. And so, how are some of these guys gonna perform for them? They, you know, you got some, you still have some talented guys on the outside. You still have Quincy Skinner. You've got, I mean, Junior Sherrill, you know, is a really good talent. I mean, but it's just, I just don't know. Cedric Alexander and Newberry and Gillespie. I mean, you know, defense, who do you still have? You have guys like Prince Kali. Can he emerge? You have some returnees like Tyson Russell and Langston Patterson, and then a bunch of new faces and just a new – and I think Clark Lee has kind of reset some of the stuff he's doing too. But, again, a big part of this is just you have to – I mean, you have to get in there and spend, you know. And so I believe they did. I don't know the exact number, but I believe they spent at a level of a Power 5 team that is trying to win football games. Well, how does that all look? How much of a asset is Jerry Kill to Clark Lee? Jerry Kill is a fantastic football coach. The guy who's, you know, been through health problems, things like that, but he's a tremendous coach. It's just, it's a totally, to me, I mean, I think 2.5 seems right. Like, you just went through the schedule. I can't sit there and look at any of those other teams on their schedule and say I like Vanderbilt. But also, could 3, 4, 5 things break their way that we're just not sure about, and then all of a sudden they're a much better team than you think they might be based on last year? Yeah, it's a very, very different team.
It's very different. I'm with you in terms of it's very difficult to predict exactly what they're going to look like with all the turnover that they've had. It's a really interesting spot that they're in, though. And we saw it at the end of last year. Some frustration from the fan base started to boil over a little bit because, look, he started off 2-10 in 2021. He took over a horrible situation. They got to 5-7 in 2022 and had a couple SEC wins toward the end of the year against Kentucky and Florida. And you felt like, okay, it's just turning around for Vanderbilt and everything is going great. And there's a lot of momentum heading into last season. And Clark Lee said it on the record heading into last year that, I mean, the goal was postseason play, I think was the term that he put it. And last year was a disaster. I mean, they went 2-10. It was ugly. You had the quarterback situation going on with A.J. Swan, and he was hurt for a little while, and then he was gone in the transfer portal, and it was just it was not good for Vanderbilt last year. So if they follow it up again this year and they're 2-10 or they're 3-9, what do you think that looks like, number one, with a fan base, and number two, in all actuality, like, could Clark Lee actually be in trouble this year if things go pretty poorly for this team? Because if you're a Vanderbilt fan listening right now and you're saying year four and the over-under win total is 2.5, are you kidding me?
Yeah, some Vanderbilt fans would say that, and some Vanderbilt fans would say, well, I've been watching this program for my whole life, and yeah, it sounds about right. James Franklin was a brief burst of, you know, joy. But to answer your question, yeah, I think so. I think if you go through year four, make all these changes, there is – look, this is fundraising above Clark Lee. This is what do we need to do to be competitive. This is him making major staff changes. I mean, you know, Tim Beck – as the OC, I mean, this is a guy who's had some serious success, you know, in football. It's a guy who, you know, should be able to help you, you know, make a big difference with your offense. If you do all these things they did, again, you give the number, Robbie, and it's still also like, okay, what does it look like, right? Like, okay, did they play a bunch of competitive SEC games? And it's like, well, look, they're not good enough, but they are getting better. These changes worked to some extent. They're more fun to watch, whatever it is. Or are they just getting crushed?
Yeah.
You know, like at the end of the Derek Mason era, I mean, you know, the morale was so low too, right? It wasn't just like bad football. It was just like it just didn't seem like there was any momentum or energy in the program. So – you could be different versions of 3-9 next year. I would still say, though, that if it's 2 or 3, yeah, you have to at least, I would still probably predict right now that Clark Lee would get a fifth year, because I just feel like at Vanderbilt, man, you got to give a coach 5 years automatically unless like there's like criminal activity, yeah. You know, but I think it would be a very uncomfortable offseason going into the fifth year. And then it's like, so now where do you turn? You know, certainly you'd hope some of these guys keep getting better, but you're going to have to hold on to some of your players, and you're going to lose some, and then you're going to have to go out and get some. And, you know, this is where it also gets interesting with a program like this, and Vanderbilt's not alone in this, but when you do have investment like this and boosters and you're saying, look, we need you to actually give to the collective here. You know, we need X amount of money. We're trying to get this kid, that kid, whatever, and it doesn't pay off at all. Are you continuing to keep those people giving you that money?
That's what – and I'm with you. Like, there are different versions of a record, right? You know, they could go 3-9 and lose two games by a combined 3 points, and it feels a little bit different. But that's also what makes last year, I think, so disappointing. Of you did have the positive momentum coming off of going 5-7, getting the two SEC wins, and then from the jump last year, I mean, I think they played Hawaii in the first game. It didn't look great. They won, I think, 35-28. They got the win against Alabama and A&M. And then they lost 10 in a row to close out the season. And they lost to Wake Forest. They lost to Nevada. And then they got crushed by Florida, crushed by Ole Miss, crushed by South Carolina. Like, they weren't overly competitive last year in the SEC either. And if it happens that way again, I think he could be in some serious trouble.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if it's a similar record and just a similar – it's like you just shuffled the deck, but you're not really making any gains in terms of being competitive, then absolutely. I mean, it's an extremely difficult job. There's no doubt about it. And, I mean, kudos to James Franklin for what he did. There were some advantages he had in terms of timing and with the league and stuff like that. But, look, hey, you still got to give him credit for what
sure.
he did.
Yeah.
The energy he brought and just the aggression in trying to get this program competitive. You know, I think Clark Lee is obviously a very smart guy. He's a great defensive coordinator. He's going to be a defensive coordinator again this year. That's another change that's interesting. I'm not a huge fan of head coach / coordinator, but, hey, I guess we're sitting here talking about the Tennessee Titans. Clark Lee's good buddy, Brian Callahan. Yeah. That's an NFL trend, the play calling head coach. So, look, maybe that makes a difference. If he's a great defense coordinator, he knows he's great at doing that. Maybe that solidifies some things. Because, yeah, both sides of the ball last year, you know, mistake-ridden on offense, at times explosive, but then just, man, there were some good stretches here and there on defense, but it was mostly just being overwhelmed.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. We will do that next. Ryan Shumpert coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And so, and the week, you know, the week five bye, I'm sorry, idle, is, gosh darn it, don't, erase that. Erase all.
Development on the show.
Erase all signs of that, please.
We're making progress.
Oh, God. It's you get bad, you get hit over the head over and over again, and you finally just succumb. It's not groovy per boomer over here.
I forgot about that one. What a development that was on the program. The bye week. Joe Rexroad finally admits.
Disappointed myself. Actually, I had forgotten.
Maybe changing his rant as we speak.
Really glad you got back from Canada to help me remember that, Nick. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy.
All right, so today I was actually going to – I was like, am I going to just rant about Caitlin Clark stuff all week? Because, like, then Pat McAfee – is Pat McAfee an idiot? He's kind of an idiot, right? Is he kind of an idiot? I think he's kind of an idiot. And also,
what did he do? I didn't see this.
He called her a white B word.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Good for you for not being on the socials enough for the firestorm of that.
I just think your feed is filled with all this basketball hoopla that we just don't really care about.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I mean, to Robbie
I think
and
there's
I.
some truth to that sometimes, but this is a firestorm. I mean, this is all. Freaking First Take is talking about, which, by the way,
I did see that.
Yeah. So, by the way, there's another rantable topic is like Stephen A. Smith, Monica McNutt, who's awesome, calls him out on women's sports, and then later he like I made her or whatever. Like, dude, calm down. Like, Stephen A. Smith, get over yourself a little bit. Stephen A. and McAfee, can they start their own network? Maybe they can do their own show and scream at each other. But I do want to talk today instead. I want to stick with what we've been talking about, okay. Robbie, because we've been talking about these anonymous coaches in the SEC.
Okay.
And this is absolutely glorious. Of all the dumb things around the Caitlin Clark thing, I don't think there's anything dumber than this right here. Okay, so SEC Mike, Michael W. Bratton, tweets out some of these things, and he tweeted out a quote about Auburn. So this is what one anonymous coach said in this Athlon thing about Auburn. Said, quote, "They aren't close to the top end of the league, but they're absolutely better than the Brian Harsin rosters at offensive line and receiver, and probably defensive line too," end quote. Okay, whatever.
Okay.
Brian Harsin quote tweets this. Listen to what he said, which is truly one of the most hilarious things I've ever heard. He says, quote, "Coaches do not make these kind of comments. They focus on their programs and their problems only. If a coach wants to make a statement about another program, he will not hide behind anonymous. He will say it publicly and with authority," end quote.
Sure.
My God, that's freaking amazing. Major, massive, full respect for the coaching profession, so don't take this wrong. There are no bigger gossips in the world than coaches bitching about other coaches. Yeah. Holy crap.
It's particularly
you cannot get away
sports.
From it. Oh, you cannot get sports. Away from it. I mean, like, you can't turn and not run into a coach complaining about another coach. Stephen Godfrey quote tweets this because he wrote this, okay? And he quote tweets Harsin and says, "One, I was in charge of the scouting report, which is a combo of multiple sources in the league. Two, coaches have been gossiping about each other for as long as I've been doing this. Three, I'm the last person on God's earth to do Hugh Freeze a favor. And four, they cooked you, Harse." Everybody else is like Staples is like, they are the biggest gossips in the world. Yeah. Like, if Brian Harsin actually believes that, maybe that explains a little bit about being just clueless in general. And well, then I need to know how he got to where he got.
Yes.
I mean, like, guys, you know, it is not hard at all as a reporter to find college coaches who will speak anonymously about other programs and coaches. Now, they're all recruiting against each other, right? So, like, there's that. And obviously now it's a totally different thing with the collectives and the salaries, right, and pay for play. But, no, they're like, you can't possibly be more wrong about that. And, like, saying something like that makes me wonder, like, do you talk to other coaches?
Yeah.
Do you talk to your own staff members? I mean, I feel bad for Harsin because he got fired and there was all, you know, internet garbage that I think was total BS, right, about him, if I'm remembering correctly, right?
That is correct.
Like a total – which, by the way, sub-rant on mentions because I did look at the mentions, and of course people are bringing that up because it's just – you're just screwed in the mentions.
Oh, yeah.
You're just going to get the dumbest stuff in the mentions. But this is just like just an amazing take from a coach. And I think he actually believes it.
I see a bunch of Mississippi State fans in the Republic. Miss you at Auburn, coach. Miss you down there at Auburn.
Come back, Harsh.
Come back.
Come back, Harsh.
No, it's look, I will say the SEC coaching drama is one of my favorite things in sports. I mean, there's always – it always happens. And – you know, now more so than ever with everything going on in the college sporting landscape. But, yeah, that was pretty rich. I didn't see that yesterday from Harsin, but the idea – yeah, coaches, those guys are too busy. They don't ever say anything about other
They're
coaches.
They're going to put my name – I'm putting my name on this.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
Yeah. Lane Kiffin might, but
– but, yeah, but I would – he might, and also I bet you says other stuff where he's like, "I'm not going to put my name on this one, but here's a juicy nugget for you about I don't know Nick Saban or whoever."
Yeah.
I mean, it's just and look, there talked about anonymous sources before. Like there are times when anonymous sourcing is the only way that you know someone's going to give you information. You can report something, right? So, like at times it's necessary. I'm frankly not a huge fan of someone anonymously getting to just blast people, right, with no accountability. I'm not a huge fan of it. I've participated in it, so I have to say that I'm hypocritical if I can say that it's wrong and bad, and I've written stories. I mean, we did the high school recruiting confidential here in Tennessee, David Ubbin and I did, and so we had high school coaches giving us their honest opinions on college coaches and how they recruited, and there was a very strong negative opinion about Jeremy Pruitt in there, you know? And so, I mean, look, I think anonymous sources are overused in general in the world, but they're used because people want to get that stuff out there. Like, people are more than willing and eager to talk.
It is the recruiting part of it's interesting too, because that's one thing I try to keep in mind when I'm reading, particularly college football stories that involve anonymous coaches, is like, they are always recruiting against each other. And you got to factor that in when you're reading some of the comments that they make, but they're entertaining. I love it.
I mean, if I could unload the off-the-record stuff and things I've heard from coaches about what this coach or that coach, let me tell you what people were saying in the early days of Bruce Pearl at Tennessee about what was doing. It was like, well, you know, there's coaches that do this and that, and then there's people who are just like, here's the number for we need a shooting guard. Like, I mean, but again, no one's saying that. No one's putting their name on it, right? And, of course, Bruce Pearl already was reviled in the coaching industry because he turned in another coach at Illinois for getting a recruit that he was recruiting for Iowa. And I'm sure he was doing it just offering school board, you know, room board and tuition. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm sure it was just all in the up and up.
Yeah. You wouldn't have to get me to be an anonymous source to start saying stuff about Shane Beamer. I'd be on the record. What a goober.
Yes.
By the way, somebody did say something about him in this Athlon piece. Quote, Shane's a great football guy overall. High energy, passionate. Can't say enough good about him. Last year was just the reality, hitting the wall. That's what it's like in this league when you're trying to maintain success at any program, but especially one that has to fight for everything in the shadow of the big boys. That was the comment on Shane Beamer.
So no one just ripped him, huh? No one said his stupid videos are stupid? No one said that?
I need to be a coach in the SEC?
I guess so.
Wow. If I was a coach and I had to do a SEC Media Day appearance, that's all it would be. I'd be up there ripping Shane Beamer. And probably drink wits too.
Oh God, it'd be worth the buyout, paying your buyout after firing you after a year to do that at one SEC Media Day.
You guys seen Kirby Smart's visors? He looks ridiculous up here. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan Shuppert coming up next from Rocky Top Insider. We'll get his thoughts on the super regional matchup for Tennessee against Evansville. That's next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.